I am Plot on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Pippa Mackey joins me now. The Jesse Award nominee is part of the cast of Hunter-Gatherers, the Peter Sinnaktrib play that is being staged by Staircase Theatre beginning the 30th of October and running until the 15th of November. It's at the Havana Theatre and Restaurant at 1212 Commercial Drive. The show is described as Lord of the Flies meets Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Two couples, childhood friends, meet up. And I'll get Ms. Mackey to tell us more about this show, which is directed by Ryan Gladstone. It also stars Jay Cliff, Peter Carlone, and Marianne Renzetti. Visit staircasetheatre.com for tickets and information. Incidentally, Staircase Theatre is beginning its fifth season. Pippa Mackey is a graduate of the National Theatre School, who's appeared with a number of companies, such as the Arts Club, Belfry, Pie Theatre, Gateway, and Blackbird, among others. Some of us might remember her for playing the weather girl who flips out on Kai Nagata during one of those hilarious segments for Deep Program. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Pippa Mackey. Ms. Mackey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You did that one segment with Kai for Deep Program. That was a big hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was one of those surprising moments where, you know, something goes viral and you have no idea how.
Yeah,
it got over a million hits, which was, it's really surreal even to this day.
Yeah.
It did. It got Earth Day. It was on Earth Day and it was shared in a few large social media outlet kind of places. So.
And
it just kind of spread.
Yeah, and I've seen other things that you've done online as well. Mm. What's that process like? Because I'm assuming that it's a lot more DIY than, say, if you're doing something for the stage or something for film and television.
It's all DIY. Yeah. I mean, I've done a few videos with Andrew Barber, who's an amazing comedian, and he'll usually just give me a call and say, oh, do you want to write something with this theme or that, and just say yes, and we shoot it in an afternoon, and then he edits it together, and it's up online.
it's
a great way when you're not busy one day, mm-hmm, and you want to keep everything up. It's a great way to do that.
Yeah, is that with Andrew Barber, is that the one that you did with the Craigslist, the two people meet on
Craigslist killer?
Yeah. That was quite funny, actually. I thought you were quite good in that. A little scary.
Oh,
a little scary, though, but yeah.
Yeah, that one's fun.
You had a show at the Fringe Festival recently, is that correct?
I did, yeah. I had a show called Industry, The Food Must Go Out, and it was about working in the restaurant industry, and it was performed in a restaurant, Edible Canada, specifically in Granville Island,
mm-hmm,
and we performed at 11 p.m. every night, so like a late-night show with drinks, and it was really just an ode to people who work in the industry, and for people who don't, a chance to kind of see the inside of a really bizarre job.
Yeah.
With so many stories.
Is that something that you've done in the past, right? Work in a restaurant?
Yeah, I kind of flip-flop. So there's some moments in my life where I don't have to, and then there are moments where I do. You know, even when you don't have to, I enjoy working in a job that's kind of separate from the artistic world, just because it's an opportunity to meet new people, and sometimes you're just always surrounded by theater friends and all of that, which is great, but also it can be really intense because you all talk about the same things, the same jobs, the same shows, so it's a nice escape, and just kind of put your head down and do the work.
So is everything in life, whether it's, say, getting, you know, working, say, a shift at a restaurant or something like that, does it all contribute to, say, the acting that one does? Is it all fodder at the end?
I think so. In the show, I actually had the little monologue where I was kind of feeling depressed about working in a restaurant because it's not exactly what I want to do with my life, but I kind of had a realization in the last couple of years that working there actually lets me do what I love, and I'm one of the lucky people who knows what they want to do and is 100% sure that it's the right thing to be doing. So it makes working the other jobs that aren't specific to what I love to do necessarily a lot easier.
So was theater something that, or acting, was that something that you always wanted to do?
Pretty much. I don't think I have a memory where, I mean, when I was little, I'd say I want to be a marine biologist because I really like marine animals.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I've always kind of been drawn to the stage. And my parents aren't in the theater at all, so it was kind of really amazing of them to kind of recognize that in me and put me in like camps and all of that.
Yeah.
And it was something I always worked hard on. Like, I would work at classes or whatever, but I didn't work hard the way that I worked hard in theater in any kind of form.
And I guess we have a pretty good community in Vancouver where you're able to, I mean, I've listed some of the places where you've worked.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great variety, just like with Staircase and this new show,
yeah.
A great variety of, say, acting jobs that one can do.
Oh, there's, I mean, every company has a different mandate and offers something completely different. You can be doing a classic play one time and then do something like Hunter-Gatherers, which is like one of the funniest scripts I've read in years, and it's so absurd, yet it still feels pedestrian in a way. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a dinner party that just completely falls apart, but in the non-typical way, I guess. and also, yeah, I do film and TV as well, so I feel very lucky at the variety of parts and companies that I've been able to work with over the last couple of years here.
So tell us about Hunter-Gatherers, because reading the description, I'm assuming, it isn't really like the show.
Well, you know what? The description is actually pretty on point.
Really?
I would say. Yeah, it's one of those plays, and I've never seen a play accomplish it the way that this one has, really, where one tiny, like, dinner party that seems so normal for a play, because, I don't know, I think I can think of, you know, 20, maybe more plays that
yeah.
are dinner parties, that start as dinner parties. But every character somehow devolves into who they really are, and circumstances of the play force them to do that. So it fluctuates between characters who want to keep the facade of the dinner party and also are feeling these carnal impulses of, like, the first man or woman on the point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really got, and so funny. It's one of the funniest things I've read. Honestly, I can't even, the details in the script as well, it's just kind of astonishing to me. So as an actor, it's really fun because I just hope by the time that we open, you know, we can honor what's written because it's just so clear, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Nachtrib. You say that the dialogue is quite funny, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't ever do what you expect. And I don't want to give anything away, really, to anybody listening, because it really is like, if you think about the impulses that you've had in your life that seem inappropriate or bizarre, and you go to a dinner party and you actually act on those throughout the evening, just like imagine what you would look like and how funny that would be. So, yeah, like, for instance, if you, this doesn't happen in the play, but something, like, similar like this, if you were upset and you wanted to throw something at someone at a party, like, you would never do it, but you kind of wanted to, the characters in this play actually act on that.
So would sex be something that had happened in this play?
Yep.
I ask that because I understand that you have a sex scene in this.
Yes. There's a like the most bizarre sex scene I've ever read in the show. I shouldn't say with who, though, because that'll give
yeah, sure.
away.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, I get that, yeah.
It's actually, like, one of the funnier scenes in the play.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, so the is there anything else about the character that you play that you can tell us?
Well, I guess in the opening, when the writer is describing the characters, he lists Pam, who I play, as the hero. And I think what she's going through is trying to keep everything together, like a lot of us do in our lives, trying to keep her relationships together, trying to keep her friendships together. And as they slowly fall apart around her and these betrayals and these things come up, she fluctuates between wanting to break free out of the constraints of just living in a loft and having this perfect dinner party and wanting to be wild, and then coming back and trying to keep stuff together again. So she's really fighting with being the perfect version of herself and keeping her friends together. And she also is one of the more innocent characters I've ever read for and played. She really has this just genuine innocence and this genuine love for people. And it's even more heart-wrenching when they betray her. So while the whole play is a comedy, when you're rehearsing a comedy, and especially one that's so good, I think it's important to just find the honesty in the character and understand why they're doing what they're doing. Why is she trying to keep it all in? So that's we're still right in the thick of rehearsal, so that's really been the main thoughts that I've had about Pam so far.
So you're being directed by Ryan Gladstone, right?
Yes, yes.
And we've seen him on stage throughout the city, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Ryan is a very talented actor, writer, and now master's director. And, he's, he knows comedy more than a lot of people, because he's been touring fringe festivals for years and writing comedies and really impressive ones. And so he's been able to, he's a really great captain of this team. I couldn't imagine anyone else with quite so much physical comedy training and just an understanding of how it all works. So I feel very lucky to have him as the leader of this whole thing.
And some of the other performers that are in this production, have you worked with some of these folks before?
I have actually never worked with any of them, not in a play, but I toured the Fringe Festival circuit with my Fringe show, The Progressive Polygamist, and Peter and Chris, Peter Carlin, who's in the show, who's the co-writer performer of that, he's toured the same time as me, so we've known each other for a long time. I've known Marianne for quite some time. I saw her in a few shows at UBC. And then Jay Clift, I've been a huge fan of for a while. I think I'm impressed by every show I've seen him in, and he's been in a lot. So I think it's a real dream team.
Yeah, and I guess it speaks to the sort of talent that we have in this town, up and coming.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. Young talent, too. I mean, every year it seems like there's, five people. I'm like, oh, I got to keep my eye on them. They're so good. What are they going to do next, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Staircase Theater, as I mentioned off the top, this is their fifth year. You've never worked with them before, have you? Or?
I have never, no.
Yeah. But they're doing a lot of things that people are noticing, aren't they?
Well, I think this play in particular it's just so good, and I was so impressed when I read it that this company got a hold of it and assembled a team like this. I'm just excited, and I want everybody to be able to see it, you know, for everything. I mean, the cast, the script, director, production side. I don't know if you've seen the promo photos, but I think they're pretty sweet.
They are, yeah.
Pretty wild promo photos.
They are, yeah. How do you decide on what to do in terms of work? Do people come to you with scripts and say, hey, we're putting this on, we'd like you to be part of it? Or, do you have to do a lot of thinking as to what you're going to do next, say, and what's that process like?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. Well, I think, first of all, as an actor, you don't really have a choice in what you get to do unless you write it for yourself and produce it yourself. You can audition for everything, and then whatever comes up, it's kind of like, yeah, great. And we're lucky that there are enough good shows that you're never kind of like, oh, I have to do this one. Uh-huh. It never really comes up. So for me, most of the parts that I've booked have been because I've actively pursued, you know, the process. So I'll just send an email to the company and ask them if they're holding auditions. The audition sheets will go up, and then, you know, I have an agent. So between all of that, and then Marianne, actually, who's the producer and who plays Wendy in the show, she approached me and asked me to read the script and come in and audition for it. So that was really great, and I was so blown away by the script. I was really happy she thought of me, because that's one that would have slipped by had she not sent me a message. So I feel really lucky. But yeah, it's kind of, you have to be pretty proactive in your career. And as a younger emerging artist, we have a lot of friends, and all of us are kind of producing our own stuff too. So I think when you have a community, especially my group of friends, I feel so lucky to have here, who also do the work. We've all been helping each other out in different ways.
Hey, you were recently nominated for a Jesse, and as I mentioned, as we've talked about already, you've had a lot of great notoriety and success recently. When we look at an actor, you know, it's easy to say, because it's show business, that it's all glamorous and the sort. But I mean, it is a lot of hard work. It is a job for you at the end of the day. When is it not fun for you to be an actor?
Oh, when is it not fun?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in a show that you love, I'll talk about a few things, I think.
Yeah.
If you're in a show that you love so much, when it ends, it's really quite sad, because plays are like, I always describe it, like they're like these shooting stars, and if you're lucky, you're like on fire and you're flying through it with the cast. And then some people see it, and then it fades into the atmosphere, never to be seen again. And sometimes, like, you're just in a show that you just want to keep going, and you want a lot of people to see. So I think that there are some shows that you just don't want to let go of yet, and there's so many short runs in this city. I mean, like, you're running a show for 2 weeks, and you're like, oh, I could have kept doing that for a month more, you know? So there's that, and I think sometimes, you know, when you really, really want a part and you don't get it, it's kind of like, all right. I tend to have, like, a little pity party, but I've always been pretty good at not hanging on to that for too long. But for sure, when you find out about something that you really wanted, it's kind of like, all right, on to the next. What's next?
Yeah.
And then also a lot of conflicts do come up when you are asked to be in a show and you say yes and you sign a contract. You can be called and by another company and say, we want you to go out for this or be in this. And you have to say no, because they conflict schedule-wise. But saying no to that means that you could have maybe worked a bit longer, had the timing worked out, and instead you have to go work at a restaurant. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that that can be really frustrating, because I hate saying no to anything. And each project will have its own, like, beauties, and its own, you'll learn something new from each one. So that can be a bit of a struggle as well. But also, as I'm reminded by many people and by friends who find themselves in similar situations, is that's when it's a happy problem, and you have to just kind of say, well, we're lucky enough to be offered work, so that's what you can take away from that and move forward in a positive way.
And so how does it work in terms of your career? Do you know what you're doing, say, after hunter-gatherers? How far in advance, say, do you have your schedule?
Sometimes it's like a year in advance. Sometimes you know a year in advance. Sometimes you audition and a month later you get offered a part. So what I have coming up is I'm in a film called Garage Sale Mystery. It's a Hallmark movie. With Lori Loughlin, who played Becky on Full House.
Yeah.
So I'm in that coming up. And then also in the spring, I'll be in Tracy Powers and Steve Charles' new musical, Miss Shakespeare, directed by James McDonald. So Tracy Powers and Steve are responsible for the Chelsea Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that in rep with Julius Caesar. So that's going to be really quite exciting. That'll be at Performance Works in April.
Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today, Pippa. Break a leg, as they say, and we'll come down and see Hunter-Gatherers.
You too. Please do. I hope everyone can make it out. It's in tight quarters at the Havana,
mm-hmm.
and it's a whole lot of fun.
StaircaseTheater.com is the website for more. The show is called Hunter-Gatherers. It's by Peter Sin Nachtrib and runs until the 15th of November at the Havana Theater and Restaurant on Commercial Drive. One of its stars, Pippa Mackey, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.